It's actually a fairly simple agenda. Our overall goal is just to sort of catch people up on our current DID thoughts. There have been a variety of events in October and early November that are affecting our thinking, and just want to make sure everybody was kind of aware of it as we try to move forward with specs. The introductions and reintroductions. Mark, I think this is your first time here. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Mark Miller. I'm a researcher at Google involved in web standards, mostly on the ECMAScript side of things for about 10 years, and for a long time been advancing the object capability security model and explaining its advantages, and at the recent rebooting web of trust, I feel like we sort of collectively went through a bit of a revolution of reorienting a lot of stuff to be really quite well aligned with the object capability model, a process that had already been done prior to that, but which we really made a lot of progress on that.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us. We had somebody just call in. Okay, that's me. So, Scorpid, would you do a reintroduction? Tell us about yourself and what brings you to the credentials community.
Yes. Hello, everyone. So, I'm Federico Squartini, and I'm the CTO of SpeedChain. So, we are developing an application which is right now on the store for Android, implementing the DTCR standard of distributed digital identity. So we are not as advanced as we would like to be, but we are making progress. We had a few setbacks in the last month, but now it's going quite well. So I should give an update better one.
There's a lot of echo. I'm not sure who's causing it, okay. But try to mute if you're not speaking.
But can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so that's it.
So what's the name of your BTCR app in the Android App Store?
It's SpeedChain, and it's in a beta. I will write it down. I will post the address.
Cool.
Just wait a second.
Okay. So on our action items, Manu, isn't there some command to list the current action items?
No.
Okay. There are a number, and I don't seem to have the document in front of me. And Kim is on her phone. I'm just going to move forward. We need to work on doing that better. So the remaining of our session today, which we may not necessarily use all 50 minutes of the remaining time for, is to basically review and discuss the status of the DID spec, 0.7, which may confuse some people, but we decided to move the spec number back to conform with sort of some conventions in the W3C as to its status. So 0.7 is an update that was done by Manu from some of the work from rebooting. There was also work that was done, our discussions at IIW and TPAC, and we're going to talk about those as well, with our goal of advancing the spec to 0.8, ideally before the end of the year. So why don't we begin with Manu, and if you could tell us a little bit about where we're at with the 0.7 release, the pull requests that were merged with consent, and what sort of remaining on that.
Sure. So I put the link to, and I'm getting echo. Hey, Christopher, I think it's your mic again, possibly. So when you talk, there's no echo. When everybody else talks, there's a ton of echo.
Okay.
So if you could mute, that'd be great. Awesome. That fixed it. Okay, so the DID spec, I'm going to put a link in IRC, is there. Before W3C TPAC, we got approval to pull in the chain set that we had done. This was, you know, everything that we had talked about at rebooting WebTrust. So there were something like 38 fairly decent sized modifications to this spec. At this point, we're not, all the rebooting WebTrust changes are not complete, right? So we still need to go through the spec and potentially pull out some of the authorization bits because we decided that those are DID method specific. So that section may need to be rewritten a bit. We've changed wording like guardian to delegate, and we talk about delegates in the spec now. Basically, sections 1, 2, and the very first part of 3, let's say, and maybe 3.1, 3.2, have been updated to match the kind of the latest thinking at rebooting WebTrust. At W3C TPAC, we had a discussion. Actually, sorry, that's a totally different spec. My apologies, I'm getting my specs confused. The decentralized identifier spec is basically halfway there to a post-rebooting WebTrust spec. We do need to pull things out, like the standard key descriptions need to go in another kind of key description spec, potentially. We have a proposed DID methods that needs to be pulled out into another spec. And then just general language updates, changes, cleanup throughout the rest of the spec. I think it's probably only about 2 days of work to go through and do that, but the problem is that, you know, we're all the spec editors are currently traveling heavily or, you know, have a lot of other work on their plates. I think at I think that's pretty much it. There was another set of kind of discussion that came in around the DID hardening spec that was done at IIW, and then, you know, Drummond should cover that. But, you know, those set of changes haven't been put in the spec yet. I think the discussion's still happening on that stuff. The only other outstanding thing that I know of is that Joe Andrew wants to do some updates to the spec, and instead of talking about identity, the spec talks more about identifiers, which is really what decentralized identifiers are about. So, and I agree, you know, with the general thrust behind those sets of changes. So that's where we are now. We have, you know, 38 new changes to the spec in. First and second and parts of the third section have been reworked. We have some other changes that need to be made post rebooting WebTrust. And then we have another set of changes that are post IIW that need to be made to the spec. And then the implementers need to come back in and check to make sure that it matches their implementations. And that's
okay,
it.
So before we go to questions, a couple of clarifying things. So you said it needs about 2 weeks. We obviously have some holidays and other things. What do you think it will take reasonably? What, you know, what's a reasonable date for your pass off on this version?
I hate to say it, but probably first or second week of December.
Okay, so why don't we... is this something we can add as an action item? How do we do actions in the IRC?
Action, colon, and then the action.
Okay. So action, colon.
And then first name to do something.
Would you call this the rebooting WebTrust revision changes? Is that a...
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So before we go to Drummond, I would like to ask, do you feel like this incorporates a lot of the learnings from Mark Miller in this version, or is that also going to require some more changes?
So Mark, you weren't a part of the discussion last week at W3C TPAC, but we decided in the verifiable claims working group to ask this community group, the credentialed community group, to pick up object capabilities do some work on that. It is currently unknown. So there are two places where object capabilities could be put into the system that we have. The first is at the decentralized identifier ledger layer. Christopher, could you mute for a half second? Lots of feedback from you. So one layer is at the decentralized. Sorry, one layer is at the DidSpec layer, and we got a decent bit of pushback on that. Meaning, like, it shouldn't go in the DidSpec. Object capabilities is really up to the DID method specifications to implement. So the most that we can put in the DidSpec is. We strongly suggest that ledgers use an object capability-based mechanism to provide basically authorization to do things on the ledger. Like that's how they should design it. The verifiable credential stuff, though, got a much stronger vote to basically use object capabilities. So I think in the verifiable credentials work. We are saying object capabilities should be the primary mechanism that we use for delegation, and authorization to do things. So I think the current proposal is that Chris Weber, and Chris, you should probably talk about this, but Chris, Mark, myself, Dave Longley are going to try and refine a proposal on doing object capabilities at the verifiable credentials layer. There's going to be a little spec that's done in this group around that. And Veris One DID method spec is going to do object capabilities as well. And we'll kind of be the canary in the mine on that. The Veris One ledger will be. So that's, I think, where the object capabilities stuff fits.
Okay. I have a question. So at reboot, my memory of all this is just from rebooting Web of Trust. At rebooting Web of Trust, I remember the DID spec that was being presented had a section that was attempting to do a capability-based authorization that initially looked good, but then by the end of rebooting Web of Trust, we realized that the section, I think it was called authorization capability,
yes.
That it was actually implementing an authorization model that was broken in several ways and not object capability oriented, and the best thing was to simply remove it. Just removing it without even replacing it with anything was an improvement. Is that
right? Yeah, I think I want to make sure we move through the agenda, but I think to clarify that there are aspects of putting that in the DID spec, that the top one, as opposed to being in the method specs, it should be in the method specs. So is that a fair representation, Manu?
Yes, but Chris Weber is also on the queue to respond to this. We have a queue.
I want to get to that, but I want to ask you, Manu, is an update to the Veris one to conform to things also something second week of December?
The editors are being crushed under the workload right now.
I understand. I just
not for the second week. We have no ETA on that other than, Chris and Mark and Dave and I are going to work on something. And, whenever that pops out, that's when it pops out. January?
Okay. And just putting that in there to clarify. Okay. So I'm trying to go sequentially in real time as opposed to the queue order precisely. So Joe, are you able to make your changes to the current spec, or do you need to wait until mid-December to make your changes?
I think I can do it now. Let me make sure you can hear me.
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Okay. I put myself on the queue because, yes, I think I can. My question was, it seemed like the action item you created, Chris, didn't make sense with what I understood your edits, Manu, to have already been merged in with the DIT spec?
Partial.
Am I out of sync with...
Yeah, you're out of sync. I've only been able to do partial post-rebooting WebAttrust edits. There's still a large chunk of maybe the bottom 60% of the spec that still needs to be gone through and updated and aligned.
Okay. So, and that's going to take a little bit of time for you. I should go and dive into the identity stuff.
You could potentially update Section 1 at this point, which is where
I'll
a lot of the identity stuff is discussed. So you could, you know, at this point put in PRs for Section 1 that we could pull in that move from talking about identity to, talking about decentralized identifiers and how that enables identity.
Okay. That I will do.
Okay, so right now I'm just keeping the notes. So the action, I'll edit the final action item, but the summary of it is that the second week, not second of December, the second week of December, we'll plan to have a new release to review, and we'll review both Joe's changes and Manu's changes. Drummond, I want to get to you because you have to leave. Chris, do you mind waiting until after Drummond does his report? Okay. Drummond, the focus of my question is, you said 2 weeks ago that the best way to move forward on the hardening was for us to finish the rebooting WebAttrust draft, and then you would make your changes and other people who are involved with the IIW things. Is that reasonable? And maybe you can tell us a little bit more about, what the discussions were at IIW, keeping it brief.
Yeah, so the discussion at IIW, as I reported, I think, on the last call, resulted in something called the DID spec hardening proposal, which was a Google Doc, which we've got a lot of, comments and feedback on via the mailing list. Then we had some additional discussion, much less than I would have hoped, at TPAC last week. But it did move it forward, and we I propose there that we try and starting next week have some dedicated calls, closure calls. So the schedule right now is we've got a meeting here. I'm in Utah this week. We've got a meeting of folks that are here actually physically in the valley who are like narrowing in on specific aspects of the DID hardening proposal they want to discuss, and that's on Thursday late afternoon. I told them let's take the feedback from that, post a second version of that to the mailing list, and then what I'd love to do, because I think we're going to need it, is to start scheduling some dedicated calls in addition to the time we have on these calls, start some dedicated calls just work out the scheduling for those. Ideally, I'd like to do one a week until we can have this thing closed. I think we're getting close enough.
So are these DIF calls or CCG calls or what?
No, CCG. I don't know how the I'm learning about the community group process here. So I know, for instance, at Oasis, when a working group says, "Hey, we've got regular, for instance, weekly calls, but now we've got a project we want to finish," they just go and start scheduling special calls for that, announce them on the mailing list, and folks come as they can. So it can we do the same thing here?
We can. We just want to make sure that sufficient time is given to people to be able to join if they can. So, like, if you're going to have a meeting on Thursday on this, you should be letting people know today that the on the list that if they wish to participate, you know, where, what time and when to join. That's the only request I have for these side meetings, is that they're not so impromptu that people can't try to join if they want to.
Yep, got it. No, I agree. We should have at least a week's notice. And as I said, if we can, I'm hoping we just need to have a couple of these. Last time around when we did Implementers Draft 01, it took two of these calls. Both of them were two-hour calls. I don't know if folks are up for that, but that tends to be what it takes to get, you know, to really wrap your heads around and get the consensus on what can be hard issues.
Okay. In any case, the action item is Drummond to have list of hardening suggestions by third week of December?
No. That will be submitted by Friday, or make, let's be safe, by Saturday, because I'm in Utah through Friday. So that will be submitted to the list by Saturday. And then Susan Bradford will work. She'll take the task of proposing a schedule of calls, nothing earlier than at least a week from now. So if we have the first one sometime next week, that'd be great. I know it's a holiday week, but let's see if we can get it started.
Okay. I'm trying to capture this weekly separate calls to follow. I'm just trying to coordinate the fact that, you know, we don't want a fork here. So okay, so to be clear, what's going to happen, see if I've got this right, you're going to have a list of hardenings, a sort of associated decisions to share the list next week. You guys will have weekly separate calls to follow, and then, you know, roughly by the same rough time that Manu submits the changes in the second week of December, you guys will be prepared to sort of take over the discussion and discussion points to what is required to that spec. So
right.
We're running parallel a little bit and trying to be careful and not step on each other's feet. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole one spec here. So I will coordinate with Manu and to just do that in the most efficient way we can.
Thank you. So it's 9:30. I know Manu and Drummond have to go. Do you have any last things you want
to
say?
I'm Mark Miller. I have to go at 9:30 as well.
Okay. So, Mark, I think the main thing is we are continuing to figure out how to do the credential stuff. There were good discussions at IIW, and it sounds like that's where we're going. So, so thank you very much, and we look forward to your continued participation.
Yeah, and this is fantastic progress. I'm very, very encouraged. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, so Manu says he doesn't have to go. Drummond does. Thank you very much. Next is Chris Weber.
Yes. So I just wanted to reply I guess Mark's gone, but that's fine. So the recap of what we were. Of what happened at Rebooting Love with Trust at the end of the meeting was the verifiable claims working group at the end of TPAC. We reviewed that there, if we didn't go down the capabilities route, that we were concerned we would introduce some of the problems that we've traditionally seen in ACLs, and you know, having reviewed things, we got a poll of that room of who was interested, and if I remember correctly, we had all hands go up in support of the CCG doing the work, except for one observer who I think was declining to vote more than anything. But, you know, that wasn't the CCG, so I wonder at what point do we want to do a proposal to see about whether or not the CCG actually agrees to take up the credentials work. Do we want to do that on this call, or do we want to wait for another call where Mark is actually able to be here?
I would prefer to wait a little bit. I mean, I'm thinking that we're not gated on this decision at this point. I think Manu is already incorporating it, and okay. So Manu is suggesting we can start it on the call and give a 7 days notice.
Sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, I thought I wanted a spec as well.
Yeah.
So I think the plan is that we'll give, we'll give the day that Manu ships the next set of PR requests, that we give that a couple of days, we accept those PR requests, and then we give 7 days for approval of the group around kind of this high level thing. Obviously it's holidays, so it'll be a, we'll have to make do. But I would say that the rough consensus is it's worthy of exploring. I would say that's a fair assessment for everybody. But until we actually see the spec, it's hard for people to say approve. So I think that's the summary on that. Chris, is there anything that you need prior to this, to Manu's next spec, to move any of your things forward or discussion?
No, I mean, I think the only thing that, so I'm, as I think many people know, swamped wrapping up Activity Pub Month anyway, so... but next month we start to get into the time frame where I could, start drafting up a conversion of what Mark and I had already written into kind of respec and just resubmit that as a starting point. But I don't want to do it unless if I get a sense from it that, people actually think it's worth exploring. It sounds like, without having taken an initial vote, that people are generally seeing that work done.
Right. Is there anybody in the community that still has strong reservations that this is not exploring? I'm not saying that we're prepared to it. Do people? Is there anybody here today that has a strong objection to us exploring this path? Okay. Turn it around the other way. Everybody who wants us to explore this path, say plus one.
This is Mono plus one.
Well, I'll let this continue, but so far, positive. Chris, you and I should do, and maybe Mark, is planned to sometime in December or early January. Also, we need a general explanation of OCAP, because we're going to hit a wall if we don't.
There's some good news along that that front. In the not official Booting Levels Trust hours, Manu, Longley, and myself kind of came up with, not actually written down yet, but a general plan on how we could produce some training materials that we think could get people, accustomed to the ideas of object capabilities without any prior experience, without having to understand the kind of visual graph language they use or any of that else. So I think we've got a pretty good idea for that. But I'd like to add into it, Christopher.
I'm sorry, that was Weber who was speaking. I think the key is that we have a strong assent from the verifiable claims working that they would like us to explore this. And I would like to, consider publishing some of these general capabilities things, and then actual suggestions of how to apply them to both, to enable them with DID and specify them in some method specs. But we'll know more about that when we hit kind of the merge point of hardening and the rebooting specs, because the IIW community that did the hardening were not as committed, and well, they weren't at reboot. Many of them were not at rebooting, and some of the hardening things may or may not get in the way. So we'll know more of that in the latter part of December. Is that a fair assessment?
Yep, that sounds good. I feel like that gives a good general sense of what the next few months ahead are going to be like.
So, how do I subtract Drummond from Q? Q minus doesn't
the name.
Didn't work.
Or you can act. Or you, sorry, you can act Drummond.
Okay. Drummond. Okay. So our I think we're through rebooting. We're through. Although we don't get a description of the hardening thing. Manny, are you able to? I know it's not. You haven't been center of it, but do you like a 1 minute summary of what the hardening stuff out, or does somebody else able to offer that?
Yeah, I'll try to remember. It was a while. So we did go through the entire did hardening spec and comments. Let me see if I can actually pull this up. Hey, there we go. There it is. Okay. So the hardening spec. We had authentication credentials in there, I forget, authentication something in there, and the hardening spec is going back to keys, right? So it's suggesting that we go back to keys and having a single array of keys. There is some concern, so there, in the services array. So before rebooting Web of Trust, we had keys and services. And then at rebooting Web of Trust, there seemed to be consensus around moving away from keys and moving more to like things like authentication mechanisms or authentication credentials, and splitting out authorization from that. And then from services, putting the services kind of one level up on the DID document. The hardening spec basically undoes those two changes. So we're kind of, I don't want to say going backwards, but a set of decisions that we made at rebooting Web of Trust, we've now made the opposite set of decisions at IIW. So that's part of the discussion there. And a lot of it goes into like specifics on how we express keys. So there's a lot of description there about, you know, how we describe keys. There's some discussion about how we do path dereferencing, some discussion about how we do services, and then serialization formats. So there's a new, XDI example serialization format that also came up in there. There's also a number of things that are coming from kind of the DID, the key management stuff that Evernim is working on around annotation of keys, like the usages property, whether or not a key is used for signature authentication or random number generation or key transport. These are things from the NIST 800-830 key type spec. And then there's a bit of discussion around types of cryptographic algorithms and what they can be used for and things of that nature. So I think there is, I think the key disagreement in the DID hardening spec right now is how we're listing keys and how we're listing services again. So those questions have kind of been reopened.
So what are the objections to having those be more method specific? Because I know in my particular case, if the ETCR, we don't have server connections, we are going to have our own list of proofs, that will be different than other people's. So anyhow, I'm not looking for an answer, I guess. I'm just stating that, that's one of the directions we need to pursue and thought out in December. Did anybody else have any quick comments on maybe look at the hardening? In particular, Christian Lunnett or Scorpid with Squid. Have you guys followed any, are there any other implements that were not at IIW that or people that were at IIW want to make a, have a question or make a comment about the hardening? Do I log back in? How bad is the roboting?
Yeah, it's just your audio is roboting.
It was possible to me, but it was close to not understandable.
Okay, I'll switch to phone. In the meantime, let's now talk. Keep on throwing it back at Manny. Manny, do you want to talk about CPAP while I switch to phone?
Sure. So I guess this is the LE3 CT pack update, pack 2017. So we sent an email out to the mailing list, kind of a report out on how the DID discussion went at TPAC. So basically, we had a breakout session about self-sovereign web. That was fairly heavily attended. You expect around 15 to 20 people at these things, and about 45 people showed up, including Apple, Google, IBM, Deutsche Telekom, Airbnb, BBC, some W3C staff, so that was really good. We had a number of conversations about DIDs in that group. In fact, most of the hour, we weren't supposed to spend as much time on DIDs as we did, but we did. That's where the focus was. So that was good. We also had Tim Berners-Lee join us for a bit of the DID discussion, and he had asked us to submit some of the DID stuff to the W3C Technical Architecture Group for review. And that's a pretty big deal, right? So the TAG reviews technical architecture for the web at large. So they make sure that the web platform is consistent from a technical perspective. They're the highest group at W3C that determines whether or not certain approaches on the web are acceptable or not. So they requested us to submit it, and they usually don't do that unless they're, they're very interested in the technology. It was said at one point that and I can't say who said it, but someone important at W3C said it, that, DNS has always been the Achilles heel of the web, and they would openly accept accept any kind of solution that creates a better kind of future, a better alternative. We were also, told to be very careful about how we present DIDs. We don't want to make it seem like we're forking the web. What we want to say is we are providing an alternative identifier that has different characteristics from DNS for specific use cases. So, it lives beside the DNS system. It's not meant to tear down or destroy the DNS system. And with that, we got nothing but kind of positive responses. One W3C staff member did tell us that you need to change a couple of things in the pitch to the group. You need to be careful about, how you approach this, but there seemed to be a tremendous amount of interest there. So that puts us in a position where we actually have to get this stuff to the TAG for review, which means that we have to clean up the primer, we have to clean up the DID spec, we have to have DID-specific use cases that we're documenting. And once we have those things together, we send it for TAG review. And when the TAG does a review, it'll take them two weeks to a month to do the review. And then they'll come out with kind of an official position statement on the spec. If it is favorable, that bodes very well for the technology going into a working group at W3C. So if the TAG says this is important technology, that should be a work item at W3C. then you see much less fighting against it in the W3C membership. So that's it. That's the kind of a summary of what happened.
So to just kind of follow up on things, so, you know, the credentials group submits it, or, you know, we aren't given any, I mean, they don't approve it. They sort of say this is the direction. Then we would formally charter a working group, or do we do this as part of the chartering of the, you know, rechartering of the, I don't know.
Either is possible.
Is there a thing
the
about
easier, the easier path is to use an existing group. So verifiable credentials, we could say most of the people that are implementing verifiable credentials are actually using decentralized identifiers. So it makes sense to put the work into that group. We could make the same argument for the linked data signature stuff, which again is like that's not an official standard in any way at W3C. We could say that, you know, that's seeing deployment. And so basically a rechartering of the verifiable credentials group could say, we did it, we got data model done, but now we are finding out that many of these folks are using decentralized identifiers and linked data signatures, so we really should have specs, and we've got multiple implementations and use cases and all that kind of stuff. We really should put those specs through the W3C standardization process as well, and we would
so
recharter the VCWG.
So one of the things that has me wanting to create a strategy for, so there are a number of people here who are not members of the W3C. So the difference of being a credentials community versus a working group is that anybody can participate. So we've had, if we look at implementers, on that implementers list, you know, obviously you're a member, and so is Evernim, but a lot of other people who are implementing, as far as I know, have not joined W3C or maybe can't afford to. So then the question is, how far should we try to get to, you know, some of these other members with our specs and our reference you know, initial reference implementations, et cetera, before we switch over to a more formal process? Joe, in the queue. Go ahead.
Are we done with the DID stuff? Because I didn't want to.
Oh, it's a work item. Sorry. Sorry, I thought you were. I missed the line above it. You're for NDA. Manu, go ahead.
Right. So the question is really around critical mass. If we only have two implementers in the group, we are not going to make it, right? The group is probably going to collapse. So it's very important for, you know, folks like the UPort folks and the Blockstack folks to also join the work, and potentially the IPLD or IPFS folks as well. If we can't get all of them showing up to meetings on a regular basis and contributing, it looks really bad when there are only two implementers in the room. You can still do it, but you kind of you have a painful kind of process in front of you trying to defend why the working group, you know, only has two implementers in it. So we need, you know, to figure out some way to get these other organizations, like, you know, I think, Christian, you're on the phone today, which is great, but we need to get folks like Blockstack and the IPFS stuff engaging and actually implementing the spec. I think only when we have two demonstrable implementations that kind of sort of, you know, pass the test suite, that's the exit criteria for standard, but you really want at least like 4 to 5 of those types of implementations. So you know, to put it in perspective, there are 460 members at W3C. The minimum is 25 member companies voting in favor of it. I think we can get that. But the problem is that I know that many of those folks just will not show up. So, for example, the verifiable claims work had something like 58 members in support of the work. But if you look in that room, there were only around 20 people that were really there, you know, doing work. So we need to kind of see the same numbers. We need to see around 50 people supporting DIDs, and we need about 20 people, you know, in the room to push this stuff forward. So that's a problem, right? Because we, you know, there are not enough people implementing DID specifications right now, or if they are, they're kind of, you know, it's not a number one priority for them. So before we suggest anything to the working group, we have to have basically commitments from, you know, UPort and Blockstack that they're going to show up and on a very regular basis engage. Because if they don't, the working group stands a chance of being shut down. And if it's shut down, they will not reopen it again for a long while. You know, 5 years is usually the minimum.
Okay. So let's walk through this then. So, you know, obviously, Verisk is going to happen. You've got commercial commitments going to happen. They've got commercial commitments. And both are trying to conform with not only the DID spec, but also the DID document, and are using, you know, verifiable claims, reasonably interoperate if they're using two different curves. PCR behind it, but we're moving ahead. I know planning another hackathon maybe in, mid-December, early January. Just need to coordinate people like SpidChain and Kim Hamilton and others to try to take that to the next generation. So that will have all three levels in interop. Blockstack, now their latest release as of a couple of weeks ago, does ID colon stack colon identifier at the root of their latest version. But as far as I know, they've made no efforts toward the ID document, nor are they using real verifiable claims. Or if I believe they're using some Hode-ish like thing for verifiable claims, very simple. And we haven't seen them at the meeting, which is too, I keep on pushing. I'm UPort Christian. I mean, I know you guys have a lot of things on your roadmap, but where are you in regards to maybe to the next next level?
So we have
on your roadmap yet?
We have a. The method spec, and I did at IIW I did an implementation of the plugin for the Universal Resolver. So we kind of have that alongside the other one. I think let's see what's next on the roadmap. So we've been doing some verifiable claim stuff, but is there a part of the issue that we have is that there are not it's a fair amount of work moving over from using JSON Web Token based verifiable claims to JSON LD signatures. In terms of certification for verifiable claims, is that like kind of been formalized in any way so that we know like what format they should
the BTCR, the BTCR that we did in the hackathon this summer did do real verifiable claims, and there were multiple. I think we had a Python library and a JavaScript library. We did not succeed in doing verifiable claims with C or C++. And they're basically the same curve as you and everything else. And, you know, the question is other than JavaScript or Python they need a JSONLV library for.
There's one for PHP and Go and Java. So Christian, there is a spec. There's a verifiable claims data model spec that says how the thing should be structured. And like okay. Christopher said, there, you know, the crypto stuff exists, so you should be able to do the signatures as well. And there are implementations of kind of JSONLD in a variety of different languages. So what implementation language are you guys using?
It's mostly JavaScript.
And that's the reference implementation. So you should be good to go there. So the JavaScript implementation has like the Bitcoin Curve stuff and everything that you'd need. So I think it's just a matter of, you know, if you're having issues moving over to it, just ping us, either, you know, Dave Lane, Dave Longley, or myself, and we can help you kind of transform it and do the signature and give you an examples and all that stuff.
Yeah. So
and Kim,
Kim
did the version.
Yeah, sorry. Another thing was that the DID specification itself is kind of a work in progress. Like we have an implementation of the in the DID resolver. And it returns a DID document, which is the kind of older version, I guess. And so that needs to be updated if and when we settle on a DID homing or changes we want to do there. So I think that shouldn't be too hard.
Yeah, great. I mean, if you have
okay.
a resolver...
we appreciate you guys.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, say I appreciate you guys are stepping up and, I mean, you know, turning any DID document at this point we consider to be a positive thing. Obviously, you know, we're trying to, you know, clean that up, whatever, but I think, you know, anything there. So I think the key thing is getting you all over to JSONLV and at least being able to, you know, read each other's, I mean, we won't be able to verify the identifiers cross chains, but we at least, check the signatures without that. So, again, AI and SquidChain and a few others with BTC are doing, the Bitcoin Curve and using JavaScript in one of the implementations. Maybe you want to play with the hackathon as well. You might find it, you know, helpful to start with that as a baseline and then add it to your stack. It's 9:59. Anybody have any, so our topic today has been just kind of catching everybody up with what's going on on DIDs and the DID specs. Is anybody have something they wish to share or to kind of catch other people up to date and who's doing what.
Well, I'm on the queue, Chris, but we're out of time, so we'll take
yes.
it to next week.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we're going to, I don't hear any, so go ahead and wrap up. Thank you very much for participating in the call. Thank you, everybody, for continuing to drive this forward. I will not have a meeting next week because of the U.S. Thanksgiving. So the main people who have a hard time remembering that are our European colleagues. So I might send a special note to Jan to remind him that there isn't one next week. And Lionel, you are hearing it in person, so no meeting next week. It'll be 2 weeks for our next meeting. Again, thank you very much.
Thanks all. Bye.
Thank you.